Well, while he's setting that up, let me say good morning. And it's good to be back. I'd like your prayers because I didn't sleep much. And when I got up this morning, I tried to go back to sleep, and I was asleep when the driver came to pick me up. And I hope I'm dressed, but it was a quick exit. I'm always leaving something somewhere, and I just noticed I left some pictures on the podium. Watch that. Okay. And I will show you, you probably can't see it from there, but this is quite interesting. I traveled from Canada and the USA a lot from 1989 through to 2001 to Russia and various republics of what we call now the former Soviet Union. And this picture was in 1993, and it was in St. Petersburg, and there's a whole group of people there. I hardly recognize myself. I look like a teenager. But I recognize a few. And I remember why we were there. Last night I mentioned to you A.E. Wildersmith. I was traveling with him. We were speaking together at a conference in St. Petersburg. And most of the group was a group of young men. And there were also women there who went on this missions trip to St. Petersburg. And the men, the young men, were from the school of ministry at the church that I was a missionary of as well. And hardly one of them will even speak to me now. But this is the interesting picture. You know, someone sent this to me last week in the mail. It was in my Bible. I always put things in my Bible, and that's usually where I find stuff, what I lost. And one of the ladies that was on the trip was a Japanese lady who had a children's ministry, and she blew up balloons to give to the kids. That was her ministry. And she kept in touch with my wife and I for quite a while until I got a letter from her and said, take me off your mailing list. Anyway, last week she sent these pictures and she said, I'm back on your mailing list. That's the good news. There's some good news. I also received a letter from a pastor who had supported Understand the Times, and he said, you're going a different direction than we are. And I thanked him very much for the support they had been. And I got a letter from him this week, and he said, God bless you. I no longer belong to the organization that I belong to. And he was from New York City. That's good news. Now I have to show you the other picture. I was shocked. It was like a flashback. There I stand like a teenager and I'm talking to a man, and I've mentioned this man numerous times because I'll never forget it. After a 45-minute presentation on biblical creation, he came up to me and he said in Russian, and there's a translator standing right next to him, and he said through the translator, I have written 8 books that have the word evolution in the title. And I thought, uh-oh. And he said, tonight in 45 minutes, I've learned that I've wasted my entire life. Now, there's a reason for me telling you that. When I came back to America, I was challenged by Christians who believe in evolution. That's not my subject. How long do I have? And my topic today is another gospel. I think that's what I was supposed to do in the last session. But on the way here, on the plane, I put this together and I thought I should do it. In the last session, you'll have to come back before I tell you. Another gospel, current trends in the name of Christ. And we're going to turn to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, we talked about that last night, Paul said, whom we have not preached. That's the clue. Another Jesus that Paul had not preached about, because there's more than one Jesus. There's the Jesus of the Bible, and there's the gospel according to the scriptures, and then there's another Jesus and another gospel because there's another spirit. He says, whom you've not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you've not received. That means they had received the Spirit when they believed. The Holy Spirit. Really? The Bible teaches that when you believe, you receive the Holy Spirit. Contrary to what many teach. Or another gospel. That means there's more than one gospel. Paul said, I'm sharing with you the gospel that's according to the scriptures. That means there is another gospel that isn't according to the scriptures. And then he says, you may well bear with him. That means you will put up with it. You won't even challenge it. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He's trying to correct them. It was the church that he had founded. And not that many years after the foundation. Doesn't take many years for churches to grow corrupt, as the church at Corinth had done. Now, I really have to move fast because I've got a number of points. Various groups proclaiming the gospel. And I'm going to quickly go through it, so take notes, and I will try to cover each point, but if I don't, I won't. Purpose-driven Christianity will be one of the topics. Second, seeker-friendly Christianity. Number three, Our Lady of Fatima. Now, I have to make a disclaimer. Because there'll be people here, there'll be people listen, or whatever, I will get letters and emails and phone calls. They'll say, you are a basher of what I believe. No. Love is telling people the truth. In spite of what you might think. Sometimes when people tell the truth, in love, they're hated. Fourth point. Our Lady of all nations. Fifth point, the second Pentecost. The sixth point, the Azusa Street revival revived. Some of this is pretty current, but this one's really current. To be continued. I don't think I'll make it there today. But if I can, I will. Number one, or what does Paul mean when he talks about another gospel? I think I've already tried to lay that foundation. It's not the one in the Bible. And the reason there's another gospel is because there is another Spirit and another Jesus. Well, there's many other gospels, but they're not the gospel according to the scriptures. Can Satan counterfeit the gospel according to the scriptures? Oh, yes. You ever heard of doctrines of demons? Have you ever heard of the falling away? And many other scriptures. Now, this will really get me in trouble. If you've been there, you know I didn't take that picture because nobody like me would ever be up in the air above that place. So I'll describe to you what it is. In the middle of the circle, which is called a square, is an obelisk. It's called the mother of all churches. The arms that make the circle that were constructed by Bernini, I forget what year, and the objective is to welcome the world to the mother of all churches. Now, this is an illustration. Now, you can tell Charisma I use this. Here's the legality. When you're teaching, you can use information, but it shouldn't be taped. I'm sorry, I don't sell my stuff. But I have a lot of people who take the stuff and they put it up on YouTube and they get it out all over the world, and then I get letters saying, you've used stuff that's private and we're going to sue you because you haven't got any permission. So I'm just warning you, if you Google pictures and you put them up on your website, take them down. Because right now I have a letter saying I owe them $8,375. It's not up, but it's down, but doesn't matter. You used it once for 10 minutes. Obviously it's a scam, right? Well, how do I know that? The RCMP are working on it. If I told you what the RCMP know, what I've told them, you would think I'm nuts. Now, the Bible does talk about a last days global religion. According to the Bible, the last days will be characterized by the formation of a global religion for the cause of peace in the name of Christ that will become the religion that prepares the way for the Antichrist. How many believe that? Almost everybody. That's unique. Today wasn't 20 years ago. And then the Bible says in Revelation 17, 1-5, and there came one of the seven angels which had seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. That's a Bible study, or two or three in itself. The Bible says this is what's coming. And we know also that it's going to be judged. You know, there's going to be two angels that are going to proclaim the eternal gospel supernaturally to the world. One of the angels is going to say, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Worship the God who created. If you understand biblical history, you'll understand why the angels have to do that. One points to the Creator like Paul did on Mars Hill. He was speaking to pagans who worship the sun as God, the moon as God, the earth as God, anything and everything as God, including themselves as God. And Paul said, you're going to hell. You're worshiping the creation. That's Babylonian. And he said, this is what you need to do. You need to get it right. You need to recognize that you breathe, you got breath, and you live, and the nations exist because there's a creator who made it. And you're separated from the creator because of your sin, and you need to get it right, and you need to ask forgiveness, you need to repent. Repent? What's that? You ever heard that lately? Some churches still teach it. Repent. Oh God, I'm sorry. You know what? We need to do it every day. At least I do. And you don't need to go to a priest to ask for forgiveness. And then he said, I'll tell you who the Creator is. He's the resurrected one. Jesus. In the book of Colossians, it says the one who made everything is the one who died for our sins. It could be no other person than Jesus Christ. By the way, Christianity is based on that understanding. I should be. It has nothing to do with purpose-driven. It has nothing to do with seeker-friendly. It has nothing to do with a whole lot of things that are presented as dogmas and traditions. Okay. Purpose-driven. I have to move quickly. I have to show you a photograph of a man. By the way, he's dead, so I doubt if he'll sue me. Do you know who that is? Mr. Drucker. Mr. Drucker was a business guru. By the way, I don't judge people. I don't know, but if he was a Christian, I'm not. Mr. Drucker, Peter was his name, not only was a business guru, but, well, he was a futurist, and in 55 he wrote the book Landmarks of Tomorrow, and he understood where things were going. He may have read the Bible or somebody else told him. But he had, I think, a plan for man. And by the way, the plan is very similar to the plan that happened in Babylon. The plan in Babylon, as you know, was to rebel against God and to build a city in rebellion to God and build a tower to reach the gods. And they had sort of an economic system. I think it was the 666 plan. And Satan's plan for the last day is to duplicate that plan, to deceive the world and the church, to reconstruct the Babylonian plan for man, to bring back mankind together again so that they all can communicate with each other economically, politically, religiously, to set up a system for a man who thinks that he's God, small g. And he wants to be the king. King of the world. And there'll be a global political system, a global economic system, and there'll be a global religious system. I have not time to go into that. Now, this plan, Peter Drucker's, was known as the three-legged stool plan. It's interesting. The Bible calls it the 666 plan. Six is the number of man. Three-legged stool plan. Very helpful to understand that because there's other people promoting it even now. America's pastor. Very popular, has influenced a lot of churches here in this city and in Saskatoon and Vancouver and in Toronto and every city in between, even town. And a very popular book that's been published in other languages every country I've ever been. And given away. Given away? Do you know that Charles Darwin's book was given away by the publishers to the clergy? Maybe you didn't know that. Now, here's America's pastor on Bible prophecy from his book. Page 285, 86, he said, when the disciples wanted to talk about prophecy, Jesus quickly switched the conversation to evangelism. He wanted them to concentrate on their mission to the world. He said, in essence, the details of my return are none of your business. What is your business is the mission I've given you. Focus on that. I'm not going to read the rest of the quote for lack of time. He didn't have a very high regard for Bible prophecy, but as I mentioned to you last night, if you don't understand Bible prophecy and if you don't accept the warning, you're in big trouble. He said, if you want Jesus to come back sooner, focus on fulfilling your mission, not figuring out prophecy. Now, partially correct. There are some people that spend their entire, every moment of their life talking about Bible prophecy. That's unbalanced. But you need to have a balance. The third leg of the purpose-driven stool, I'm quoting. The third leg of the stool is the churches. There's a public sector role, there's a private sector role, and there's a faith sector role. And I could tell you when he said that and where, but here's the point. The churches is the third leg. What is the churches? It's the faith sector. The faith? Oh no, faith, not the. The Bible talks about the faith. The faith is based on the Word. Faith sector is based on any faith coming together. And that's the plan. You can work together with anybody of any faith for the cause of good. That is not the gospel. November 2014, America's pastor, well, you know who they are. Where was he? You know. And now I'm going to give you a recording. I hope it works.
We have far more in common than what divides us. When you talk about Pentecostalists, Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, on and on and on. Well, they would all say, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the resurrection. We believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. These are the big issues. Sometimes Protestants think that Catholics worship Mary like she's another god. But that's not exactly Catholic doctrine. There's the understanding, and people say, well, what are the saints all about? Or, you know, why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality. Now, there's still real differences. No doubt about that. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team.
As you can tell, we got a slight difficulty here. I'm just going to hold this. Second point. Seeker-friendly, now I've changed it a little bit since I put up the headings. Seeker-friendly, Jesuit mysticism. Now, if you want to read about that, go to our website. Sorry, I just cannot see my screen if I lay it flat. You can see who that is. I'm not mentioning names on audio. You can see that. And I'll tell you where he's from. The Midwest. And he's very, very popular and has been for years, and he's influenced many churches here in this city. Now, you can tell whoever you want. I wrote a commentary. It was called Bill and CC and Jesuit Mysticism. Now, that's called connecting dots. That's connecting facts. Now, I won't go into that, other than I want to tell you why I would say Jesuit mysticism is involved. Because the church in the Midwest that was seeker-friendly for years discovered that people had no biblical understanding. So they decided they were lacking spirituality, so they needed to introduce it. So they began to use emerging church speakers. If you don't know what that is, find out. And in order to intensify the spirituality, they son of the pastor, son-in-law. Got to get her facts straight. The son-in-law of the pastor, who's the worship leader, brought in a Jesuit to introduce what's called the practice. Well, that's pretty interesting because the emblem is the same as the emblem on the other book that I showed you. The tree. Now, I'd be speculating if I told you why, but I think I know why. The tree. There was a tree in the Bible in the beginning, remember? And what did God say? Don't eat from it. And what did Eve do? And what did Adam do? Well, you know, triggered the fall. The tree is significant. That is the fruit of the tree. And in this case, the fruit of the tree was rotten. So there's a tree. Now, the practice, these aren't my words, is an experimental gathering where we immerse ourselves in God's dream for humanity. Now, if you know anything about New Age, God's dream? I thought it was God's Word. The practice of historical disciplines, what disciplines? The disciplines of people like Ignatius Loyola, who was the founder of the Jesuits, that align us with his dream. See how far out we're getting. And carry each other along the way. We are learning to live out Jesus' teachings in the world. Well, that sounds like something real good. By the way, you're going to find that a lot of this stuff sounds real good, but it's real bad. Now, I'll connect one more dot for you, and I'm not going to mention names. But there's what Bill looks like now, in the previous picture. And he's standing with a pastor in Hungary. And, by the way, there's some very small print there, and this is what it says. He's hanging out with Bill. So I looked up what it means to hang out in the Cambridge Dictionary, and it says, phrasal verb with hang, the past tense, and past participle hung. And then it says, to spend a lot of time in a place or with someone. We're supposed to spend a lot of time with Jesus and His Word. It's a danger if we hang out with someone who's going the other direction. So here's my question. Who is he hanging out with when he got the picture taken? And shouldn't that be a concern? Oh, I created a bombshell. No, not I. Our website. A bombshell. And talk about names. Grumpy old man. Doesn't understand reality. Troublemaker. Divisive. On and on. Who is hanging out with who, and why are they hanging out? What is the practice? Well, you won't read this. I can hardly see it. I'm not even going to read it because it'll take too long. Clearly defined. Oh, let me put it this way. It's kingdom-minded. It's practice-based. And you have to hear this. It is ecumenical. Our desire is to be relentlessly committed to humbly learning from other Christian traditions and practices. Well, of course. But the sad thing, they're willing to learn from other faiths that aren't even Christian in name. Because the practices they incorporate are Babylonian. So what you have then is a false religion in the name of Christianity that embraces Babylonianism. I'll move on. Now we go to Portugal. Fatima. You know, the Lord just kind of leads me around the world. I don't even understand half the time where I'm going, especially as I get older. It's a journey. Fatima, Portugal. I've been there. I took some pictures. Here's a newspaper article, November 1st, 2003. Delegates attending the Vatican and United Nations-inspired annual Interfaith Congress, The Future of God, held during October in Fatima, heard how the shrine is to be developed into a center where all the religions of the world will be gathered to pay homage to their various gods. The Congress was held in the Paul VI Pastoral Center and presided over by the Cardinal Patriarch of Lisbon, José de Cruz Policarpo. Now, that was 2003. I think it was 2004, 2005. I was speaking in Portugal and I had my host drive me back to Lisbon and we went through Fatima. I wanted to see this. And here is director of the shrine, Monsignor Guerra, who pointed out that the very fact that Fatima is the name of a Muslim and Muhammad's daughter is indicative that the shrine must be open to the coexistence of various faiths and beliefs. According to Monsignor, therefore, we must assume that it was the will of the Blessed Virgin Mary that this comes about. Fatima. Do you know that Fatima was the name or one of the daughters of Muhammad? And Jesuit priest, I will not mention the title because the Bible says don't mention it. Jacques. Jesuit priest Jacques. In the conference there, he said, the religion of the future will be a general converging of religions in a universal Christ that will satisfy all. The other religious traditions in the world are part of God's plan for humanity, and the Holy Spirit is operating and present in Buddhist, Hindu, and other sacred writings of Christian and non-Christian faiths as well. The universality of God's kingdom permits this. And this is nothing more than a diversified form of sharing in the same mystery of salvation. That's not the gospel. It's another gospel. Now, here's some pictures. That's a Hindu with a dot in his forehead, and he's praying. Notice where he's praying, in front of the statue of Fatima. What could be happening? It's been happening for a long time. To bring all religions together. Well, I'll tell you one of the things that's happening. There's many things. But you can't understand it unless you understand this. That it's centered around a woman. Who's proclaiming that peace, there will be peace in the world on one condition. Because a woman, in I believe it was 19, whatever, early 1900s, had a visitation by a woman claiming to be the mother of Jesus. And apparently she was told by this apparition that there'd never be peace in the world until there was a dogma. That this mother of Jesus shared in redemption. Co-redemptrix. Now, by the way, these apparitional encounters have been happening for centuries. Medjugorje, Mexico City, Florida, Fatima, the list goes on. And all kinds of people get really excited and they go here and they go there, sort of like, you know, the Toronto blessing. They gotta go and they gotta be there because it's sacred ground, they say. They say that she says, that is the apparition, that she's the co-redemptrix. And message from this apparitional woman are proclaiming there will never be peace, as I said, until she's given her rightful title. The Bible says there's one redeemer. His name is Jesus. No such thing as a co-redemptrix. So what is the position of that very large center in Europe regarding these visitations? Oh, I think you know. Maybe the pictures will help. These are in the past. But they're also, I could show you, in the present. Because the popes go to Fatima and they bow down before the statue. And, well, when she was alive, the woman who claimed that she had the apparition, well, essentially, she was a blessed woman. There's the date. That particular leader of that church went to Fatima and, well, he's giving a blessing to the woman who said she saw a woman. And notice the woman's wearing a crown. She's the queen. And I could show you numerous pictures of that woman. Well, all over the world, in churches, that's worshipped. Oh, no, they don't say worship, revered, or there's another word. And they say, in order to get to her son, we need to get to her, but the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man. It's not a statue. It's not someone who's dead, even though they say that she ascended, it's a big problem. And on October 8th, 2000, the image of the statue in Fatima was taken from Portugal to another city in Europe, the headquarters of this large group. And before 1,500 leaders from around the world, the head of that organization dedicated the third millennium to the woman. Interesting. I was in Russia because the Russians had a 2000 birthday party for Jesus. It was put on by the Russian Department of Education. And they had asked how many creationists in different countries that I knew that could come and give a message to celebrate Jesus' birthday party. That was in Moscow. And there were a number of names that you'll know. Dr. Dwayne Gish, he represented the United States. Dr. David Rosevere represented England. And Dr. Beckett, a biologist, represented Northern Ireland. I won't tell you who represented Canada. And all kinds of lectures were given, and the Department of Education made a resolution that it was the first and the only country in the world that had a birthday party for Jesus and pointed people to Jesus, the Creator. And they sent letters to the President of the United States, to the head of the government in England and Northern Ireland, and to the Prime Minister. You didn't hear that, or you didn't know that that happened. Wouldn't have made the news. Now, I kind of went on an end run there, but I had to introduce that because while in 2000 the statue was taken out of Portugal, in Russia, Jesus was proclaimed the Creator. I won't read you the prayer, but I'll just quickly go through this. How powerful is this leader in this certain city in Europe? Very powerful through the ages. There's the Dalai Lama. There's Prince Charles. And Diana. There is Nelson Mandela. And there, Gorbachev. Now, the only one that isn't dressed in black is the Dalai Lama. There's a reason. Now, let's update this. There is the President of the United States. There is America's pastor. There is former Prime Minister of England. There is the Prime Minister of Canada. By the way, this obviously is a Photoshop, but I'm telling you, this is what he said. That is second month of this year, on the 15th day. The Prime Minister of this country said he can't order the leader of the large group of Christians to apologize for residential schools. Now, if you want to read about it, do a Google search. Number five, Our Lady of All Nations. Oh, this would be a very large topic. I'm talking about that country. I have to stop over there when I fly to Kenya and stop over when I come back. Last night I told you that I had planned to take a trip to Brussels, but then you know what happened. So I decided to take a trolley and go to an address, because years ago I had done research with regards to a certain location. And believe me, it was raining and I had directions and my map got all wet, and I walked and I walked and I walked around in circles. Finally I got there. The monastery. And there's the address if you want to go there sometime yourself. Now, I have a lot of literature with regards to this particular place, and it's very interesting because on the outside and the inside of the building, you see that illustration. And this location is another place where there was a supposed apparition that occurred over a number of years to a woman by the name of Ida Pierdman. And all kinds of messages that were recorded and written down. And, oh, by the way, I don't recommend this. I sat with a group of ladies in gowns and men with collars as they were counting beads for about a half an hour. Because I had to go to the souvenir shop. And I couldn't get in there until they were done their meeting. Here's some of the materials that I had collected previously, but I added some more. Third International Day of Prayer, the Lady of All Nations, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. I don't know where they got the picture of the Father. And there you see a number of people dressed up. And there you see one of the past leaders along with another leader. And there you see a man who's significant in Netherlands, and he's putting a crown on the head of a statue, and the woman is standing on the planet, and behind her is a cross. Now you're wondering, what is the significance? Well, I couldn't even tell you all that there is to tell you, but let me kind of summarize it this way. The Mother of All Nations prepares the hearts for a new Pentecost. Now you see the crown on top of the picture with the woman in front of the cross. And now this will describe it. In this era, this woman wants to be the lady, the mother of all nations. With great urgency, she asks humanity to listen to her messages. She warns of a great spiritual fight which will engulf the world. She announces the dawn of a new era in which the Holy Spirit will come upon the earth. This new era will be preceded by a new dogma, the last and greatest dogma, that there's a co-redemptrix, there's a mediatrix, and there's an advocate. For the Lord entrusted the world to his mother when he said on the cross, "Woman, behold your son," whom she shared physical and spiritual suffering. Now, the second Pentecost. I already mentioned it. That's what the Lady of All Nations talking about. Now let's bring this up to date. That's a blank screen. And there's the one I used previously. I don't need to describe it. Look at it as I do this. That issue is December 1999. Now, you may see some similarities, you may not. It's actually the other direction. That looks like Crystal Cathedral. I just was there. I never actually saw that before till now. The tower. Now what's significant, if you can see, and I had to squash it, there are two arms. They're going in the opposite direction that the other building was, and in the middle of the square, which is a circle, there is a obelisk. Now, this is sort of a combination of things, right? I was at this church in Orange last week. Well, there's a lot of things even worse than an obelisk. I didn't see those arms, but they'll probably be there. They're spending millions and millions to take out every pane of glass and reseal it. The sanctuary that was, well, I've been there, but now they took out everything. And it'll be 2 years before they get it together. But if you're in Southern California, you can take a tour for a donation. Worse than that, if you want to be buried there or your ashes for a very, 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 very large donation, you can get a spot. If you belong to the church. If you don't, you're out. By the way, those who were buried there during the previous era, if they weren't belonging to that denomination, they are out. They're gone. I asked the manager. So where is Paul? Not Paul the apostle. Because Paul died recently, and I was there a few years ago when they had a whole cubicle. So I said, where's Paul? We threw him out. Well, he never was here. I'm just joking with you. They said, well, where are all the others that were here? Well, we did throw them up. No, we called their families and we said, here's your money back. So what they say is that if you're not one of them, you can't be there. I'm not making this up. Now, I have to show you this. See the pyramid? Do you see the door? Let me bring it back. Do you know what the pyramid stands for? I won't tell you. You know. All-seeing eye, not of God. Now, why would Charisma magazine at the end of the millennium put up something like that? Well, because they're calling for, fasten your seatbelt, a Christian revival that would sweep the world in the next 25 years. I got to really move fast. I need to tell you about history of a renewal movement and a book that's called As by a New Pentecost. And very significant book written by someone who was there in Pittsburgh. And it's dedicated to Mary. It was 1992. The book was written. It was the dramatic beginning of a charismatic renewal meeting group at a retreat in February 17, 1967. I'll move on. I need to have something to talk about another time. If you want to know something about this, the author said, I don't pretend to understand it fully, but I believe the Lord is preparing his people for a new wave of the Holy Spirit. And she quotes a couple of men. They've written an insightful book about the new wave of the Spirit entitled The Spirit and the Bride Say Come, and they discuss the role of the mother of Jesus in the new Pentecost. She says the name of the book, and so I got the book. I do not recommend you get it. The Spirit and the Bride Say Come, and subtitle is Mary's role in the new Pentecost, and notice in the stained glass window, the dove, the head coming down. What's significant here is the role of the mother of Jesus in the new Pentecost. And again, I have to skip through some things because I want to touch on a few others. The wonders of the new Pentecost and the reign of the divine Savior. What? Do you know that there's going to be a reign of the divine Savior here on planet Earth before the Savior shows up? Well, it's already happening. And I talked a bit about that last night. They say that he's appearing in different places. They call it the reign. I'll tell you the word, the Eucharistic reign. That means this Jesus is going to rule and reign, they say, all over the planet, and this originates, some of this ideas originate on the Protestant side from the latter reign. And I mentioned this last night, and I didn't say enough, and people have been asking me questions. What was it? It originated in Saskatchewan, North Battleford, 1948. God was raising up a last day's army. The army was made up of empowered Christians. It was called Joel's Army. The army would win the planet for Jesus, and Jesus could not come until the army got the job done. Thus, the kingdom of God would be established here on planet Earth. And the man who was well known for the plan was this man. And if I mention his name, I will have threats. He died in 65. And after he died, they said he would be resurrected in 3 days. And they're still following him. Many are. They listen to his tapes. A man that traveled with that man is this man. I will tell you his name. His last name is Cain. Not the one in the Bible. And this man was very much involved with this man, who I will tell you his name. He's dead. Wimber. By the way, split off from the fellowship of churches that I was part of for 25 years in 1981. He was actually said, look, you go your way and we're going our way because we study the Bible and you're into signs and wonders. And this man, Wimber, had what was called power evangelism, which he said, unity in Christ leads to signs and wonders, and more people that experience signs and wonders will come to Christ. That's frightening. And by the way, do you know who brought some of this experience from the fellowship that he was part of previously? His name is Lonnie Frisbee. For those of you here who don't like me from a particular fellowship, you need to know the truth. He was a hippie. And he came supposedly to Jesus on LSD. And he was an evangelist. And he was on television with his pastor and Catherine Kuhlman. He played a very important role in the founding of the Jesus movement, although Jesus is the founder of the Jesus movement. And from there, he went, as I said, to the Vineyard movement. And from then on, it was pretty weird. Now, speaking of what happened in the Vineyard movement, you know that because you're from Canada. And this man came from South Africa to the United States. And he anointed the transferable anointing. He was called the Holy Spirit bartender. His name was Howard Brown. And he anointed a guy by the name of Randy Clark, who was a Vineyard pastor, and he came to Toronto, And he held meetings in Toronto, and that was the head pastor, and he's still around. And they were the founder, he was the founder of the Toronto Airport Vineyard, which later had its name changed by the founder of the vineyard when he read, I need to be careful, he read the manuscript for New Wine or Old Deception. And he discovered that in Toronto, they were embracing animal behavior in the name of the Holy Spirit. And that he himself had been embracing this, so he went and kicked them out of the fellowship. Founder of the Toronto Airport Vineyard, and I won't go into the actions and the behavior, because I've done that here before. It's unbelievable. And the number of people that are influenced by some of these teachings, well, I'll show you a few. There's one. His last name is Joyner. And then you know this man. His last name is Copeland. And then you know this picture. That's Copeland with the present leader. And then you know this man, Wagner, who's responsible for what's called the third wave, and then you know this man, who can also transfer it, they call it it, and he claims he received the anointing that he has off the bones of Catherine Kuhlman. And then you have this man, Hill, he's dead, but he was at Pensacola, and I won't show you the behavior. It's like epileptic seizures. And I'm sure you know this because he originated in Abbotsford. I'm not sure where he is, but he's the man, he's the healer that kicks old people in the face. I'm way after time and I'm not done, so I'm going to quit. Lord, this is grieving. It's so sad that so few understand our times. And those that do and try to warn in love, Lord, I thank you for Paul, who gave us an example. As he, I believe, was the greatest evangelist. And much of what we have of your word, you used him, inspired him, and it was written down in advance. And we were warned, and others warned us. You warned us. Peter warned us. John warned us. The Old Testament prophets warned us. And nobody is listening or paying attention. And the pattern is very understandable from the scripture. You always warn, and then you bring judgment. Lord, I pray that some of these individuals, these leaders, Lord, I pray by your grace that you reveal to them who they are and where they're going and who they're leading to the same place. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you for the narrow way. Even though there's a few, you provided that way through your shed blood. And all we have to do is acknowledge you and what you've done and ask for forgiveness and to repent. And you're not willing that any should perish. You've given everyone the same opportunity through your word. Well, there's some that haven't heard yet. That must be the reason that you haven't brought the judgment yet. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use those that you're calling to take the good news to those that are in darkness, in places where they'll listen, where they're humble and they're weak, to widows and to orphans. Because that's who you love. And that's what you've said is where we'll find true religion. In Jesus' name.